syndicated radio talk show host, author, singer Al Cole welcome you to another edition of Cole and Noble Present People of Distinction. The topic is an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. Give you a little bit more background on Cole and Noble. My partner Art Noble comes from a college professorship background. He's the author of the new book, The Sacred Female. I come from a CBS radio background and have helped pave the way to treating women and guys too with the dignity that they deserve with my new book, Romance for Women and for All Mankind. You can email Cullen Noble at alcoholic@gmail.com. You heard me right there, alcoholic@gmail.com. Today, special guest, very special guest, Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. Dr. Williams is an accomplished and inspiring man. Dr. Nat, to his friends and fans, started his extraordinary journey from orphan to foster child to doctor of education. We'll talk a little bit about that. And is now president and CEO of Human Works Affiliates Incorporated, a cluster of 9 corporations focused on human services. I'll tell you, you know, it's his wonderful calling, people. Dr. Nat is also an author. The author, in fact, of many books. His latest, Attaining Your Personal Best, we're going to be talking a lot about, so stick around. Dr. Williams is a member of the National Speakers Association and is host of his own weekly talk show in Philadelphia. Yeah, we're going to be talking that up, too, so you're going to love this. And he's an in-demand inspirational speaker, everybody, and his commitment to helping others find their way successfully has made his remarkable story all the more meaningful. Visit Dr. Nat at his website, www.drnatwilliams.com. I'll spell it out a little bit for you. www.drnatwilliams.com. And for more info on his new book, you can go to www.attainingyourpersonalbest.com. That's www.attainingyourpersonalbest.com. Welcome, Nat, to People of Distinction. It is indeed a pleasure.
Well, Al, thank you so much for having me, and it's truly my honor.
Yeah, I really like where you're coming from with so many of the things that you're doing, Nat. Of course, I relate to the talk show scene. You have your own talk show in Philadelphia, and that's a TV talk show.
Sure.
And you're an author. I'm an author, and inspiration is part of your message here. We're going to be talking about that throughout the show, and particularly later on in the show, too, with messages to guide our fans and our listeners and people in general. So we're going to have a lot to talk about, and also your Human Works Affiliates. We'll talk a little bit about that, too. And I'm particularly so drawn to the fact that you were an orphan and foster child, and you lifted yourself up by the bootstraps, became a doctor of education, and are doing so many of the great things that you're doing right now. So you started out, Nat. Give us your roots here.
Sure.
Give us some of the things that led up to the wonderful things that you've accomplished in life.
Well, again, Al, thank you so much for having me. And I started life out in the Bronx in New York, which is one of the 5 counties that make up the wonderful city of New York. And was living with my mom and my 9 other brothers and sisters. We're from a family of 12, but the 2 oldest ones were already out on their own and living with their families. And when I was 5 years old, my mother died. She had an aneurysm, and she passed away. And so that left 10 children who were dependent on their mom with no one. And we did not have a man in our life. And on my birth certificate, a father is not listed. She was all we had at that point. And so the city tried to reach out to family members and say, hey, do you want a family of 10? And you can all imagine what that would be like to get that telephone call. And I think we would all imagine what our response would probably be. We'd love to help, but that's a lot of kids.
Absolutely.
We had the youngest, who was probably 2 years old at that point, and probably the oldest was around 16, 17. So that's a big span of kids to have. So we went into foster care, and I spent the next 13 years of my life in the foster care system in New York, and living in one foster home for about 6 years, and then after that, living the rest of my time in different group homes and residential treatment facilities in New York. But there was one day that really, I think, shaped my life and really let me understand what I needed to do in order to be successful. I had a visit plan when I was about 11 or 12 years old. My brothers and sisters were supposed to come, and they didn't show up, and I was rather sad. So I sat on the steps of the administration building, and out walked Sister Mary Patrick, who was the executive director. And she looked down at me and said, "Hey, you look pretty sad." And I said, "Yeah, my family was supposed to come and they didn't come." And so she said, "You know what, sit there for a minute. I have something for you." And she went downstairs to the storeroom and came up, you know, she was probably in her 50s or late 50s at that point, and she's struggling to bring up this bicycle from the storeroom. And she brought up the bicycle and gave it to me and said, "I hope that, you know, you can spend a little time on here and feel better about yourself." But something, you know, even though I was only 11 or 12 years old, something dawned on me that, you know what, if I wasn't careful, this is going to be the story of the rest of my life. You know, telling my story and people feeling sad for me and giving me things, hopefully. But also realized something. I said, "That Sister Mary Patrick is pretty powerful. She can get bicycles whenever she wants. I want it." So what I started doing is writing my name, Nathaniel J. Williams, Executive Director.
Whoa.
It took me another 13 years before that was my title.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was my title.
I love it.
And I really tell people all the time that if it's not written, it will never happen. And because it is written, it gives us a guide and something to aspire to. And so it's like that shopping list we take to the store. It's the same purpose. You know, I want to aspire to come back and bring milk and eggs. And that's why you don't send guys to the store without a list, because they will aspire to what is there, and if nothing is there, guess what? They bring back a lot of times the nothing you don't want. So that really helped me to just sign my name and take that title, and it gave me something to work for. So when I look at my situation, I had a lot of those times in my life where lessons about life were given to me, and I was fortunate enough to be able to absorb them and not be overwhelmed by them. And I think that has really helped me along the way to accomplish some of the things I'd like to accomplish.
Yeah. Boy, Nat, I got to tell you, you're a man after my own heart. Great rundown there. And, you know, talking to my audience right now, people, you know, the first motivation starts with you.
Right.
Starts inside of you, someplace where you tell yourself, "I'm worth something in this world, you know, and I'm going to go for it." And that's exactly what Nat did at a young age. At a young age, you know, at 11 years old, he was talking about himself in executive terms. That's called visualization, people, you know, illumination. When you think something about you or think something about anything, and then you make it true. You make it true with the motivational aspects of you. You make it true with the belief that you have that this is real. And when it becomes real in you, you know, you got a good shot of it becoming real in the real world, just like Nat did. I love that, Nat. You're an exceptional human being. And you wrote a great book here, Attaining Your Personal Best, that we're going to be talking about. But first, I want you to tell us a little bit about Human Works Affiliates, because that is something that fits right into attaining your personal best. It's a great lead-in. You have attained your personal best through what you're doing with Human Works Affiliates. Tell us about that.
And Al, I think you would agree that, you know, that personal best is a journey, much of a destination. And what my personal best is in 2010 is going to be different in 2011 and 12 and going forth. And so I would just encourage your listeners to just keep that in mind. It's your personal best, not everybody else's, and that may look different than everybody else, and it should, because that's what makes you special.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just understanding that there is a personal best that I can work for, that is mine, and I need to strive for that. And Human Works was part of that. Again, as I said, I signed my name, Nathaniel J. Williams, and wanted to be an executive director, and that was executive director of a nonprofit, and that's what the nonprofit is called, is Human Works Affiliates, which, as you said in your introduction, is that it's a cluster of agencies that are concentrating on helping people through different aspects of their lives. And so one company is a training company. Another company provides group homes for children who are in foster care. Another one provides group homes for adults with developmental disabilities and autism. So another company provides a workshop and a day program for individuals with developmental challenges. So the goal was to try to give back, and to give back in a special way that I thought was unique and an outgrowth of my experience. And I think that's one of the things that people forget. Is there, as you said, far more eloquently than I can, I think, is that there's something that you bring that no one else brings. But reality is, a lot of us don't realize it until we're too tired to do anything about it.
Yeah.
That we had a uniqueness, and we really cheated the world and ourselves out of that. And so I recognize that, you know, there's lots of other nonprofits out there, but there was something about my perspective and my experience that would make what we do something special. And I refuse for anyone to tell me that it was any different. And what was more important was I needed to then get into fellowship with others who can afford to support that dream,
mm-hmm.
and whose dream I could afford to support. Because this is not about Nat Williams' dream. This is about an idea that Nat has, and hopefully if I've done a good job, and I believe I certainly have, is been able to find other people's dreams that are aligned with that. And
mm-hmm.
that I allow myself and them to hear their dream, and we factor that into what's going on here as well, and that it's truly a partnership and a fellowship. So we've grown from in 1993, you know, had a budget of 400,000 and 4 homes to a budget of 12 million and 30 something homes that, you know, spanned about 250 miles and from start to finish up and down the eastern seaboard of Pennsylvania. So it has grown, and it, you know, we have opportunities where things will continue to grow. We've, you know, over the last couple of years grown by about $1 million each year for the last couple of years, and it doesn't look like it's going to be changing much in the future. But again, I think it's so important is that we had a plan, and you've heard the statement, Al, if you don't have a plan, you'll always be working for someone that does.
That's right.
So it's so important that, you know, we had a plan, and what's nice is that we're working together on that plan, and I think doing some really neat things for people.
Yeah.
So it's been really exciting, and I'm sure the best is yet to come.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. You know, fellowship with others, I love the way you use that term. You got to be willing to lend a helping hand in this world.
Sure.
To get helped.
Sure.
And I love that. And I also love the way that you use dreams, you know, the notable stuff here. You got to have that dream first before you can accomplish that dream in your life.
Sure.
And that's just wonderful to bring out to people in general, my audience in particular here. Tell us a little bit about your book, Attaining Your Personal Best. Where is it coming from?
Sure. And it really comes from that, what you just said, Al, is that dream. And that recognizing that that's what, you know, my dream is to be my personal best on any given day, and understanding that's going to be evolving as time goes on. But I recognize there were some courageous conversations, and that's I graduated from a university out in California, and it's called Fielding Graduate University, and they are very earthy kind of individuals, and I stole that term from them, and they talk often about having courageous conversations about diversity issues and social justice issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think we also have to have those courageous conversations about our personal best, and like what's standing in the way. And so as time has went on, I was writing notes and jotting things down, and I realized there were about 11 things that were standing in our way. And one of them is fear. Another one is enthusiasm. And I think, you know, a lot of people say that they're overwhelmed. I don't think they're overwhelmed. I think they're under-enthused.
Oh.
And I think the difference between, let's say, a gentleman like Donald Trump is that he's enthused about being bankrupt. You know, he's enthused about a challenge. And so he's not overwhelmed by that. And so
mm-hmm.
a lot of us, you know, again, are not overwhelmed. We're just under-enthused. So there was another one about choices and options. One of the things today in Pennsylvania, where my family and I live, it was snowing. And, you know, people just get so bent out of shape about the snow. I'm like, it's winter. It's Pennsylvania. What do you think it's going to do? It's going to potentially snow. But reality is, we make choices, and then we want all of the options. And I try to encourage people, the choice you make will determine the options that you have. We're not going to live in Pennsylvania and have California weather. So we just have to keep that in mind. So that's one of the courageous conversations, is just being able to talk about the choices we make. Be very careful about that, because that will determine the amount of options that we have, and we don't have endless options.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is about transparency versus conspiracy, and looking at our behavior and actions and thoughts, and whether we're being transparent in those, and really being able to, for people to view who we really are. Are we trying to run a conspiracy and trying to hide out and trying to manipulate? And I think a lot of things that are going on in our lives are because we're not being transparent. I was talking with a couple who were fighting over the cell phone and wanting to see what's on the cell phone. But again, if I'm a transparent person, you can see whatever you want to see, especially if you're my significant other in my life. I have nothing to hide from you. But if not, if you're not transparent, you're conspiring, it's one or the other. So there's a series of those kinds of conversations, Al, that I wanted to put out on the table, that if we're going to attain our personal best, we have to have that conversation with ourselves and then be able to have that conversation with the people we live with and work with and play with, because these are the things that are holding us back. So again, that was the purpose of the book, is to put out there some things that are, it's that, you know, white elephant in the room that no one wants to talk about. But I want to talk about how we can handle information without all this drama and heightened emotions, and how we can, you know, understand that a lot of times our five closest friends determine whether we're going to be successful or not. So we have to be around people that aspire us, not inspire us, but inspire us to be better, and are role models for us. So again, the book was attempting to have those conversations, and the point that, and Al, this book is about 40 pages long.
Oh, really?
And I really did that knowing that everyone is on a very, very tight frame. But I hope that what it's done is it succinctly has pointed out some things that we need to talk about. And then more importantly, I encourage people to read it and say, what does it tell me? What does it ask me? What do I have to do with this? And then go on to the next chapter. It's not just for reading for the purpose of reading. It's reading for the purpose of reflection and discovery, and then action. And then I would also encourage that, you know, taking action is one thing, but we need to take action with the goal of resolving the problem, so that we resolve it so well that there's no sense of residue of that the problem was ever there, and that we've worked so hard to address it that it's really left our life, and we can go on to the next issue. Because what happens a lot of times is we begin to work on stuff, Al, and we leave remnants of all the stuff that we're working on, and then other things come our way, and then it gets to be truly, for some people, a major challenge to make the changes that they want. So one of the things people have said to me in working with kids is that if you are a person that never had a father, watching you with these kids, you would never, ever know you did not have a father. And that's an example of working real hard, that we want to remove the residue of some of the challenges that we had. And I knew, for me, that if I was going to remove the residue of being fatherless, I had to do something that taught me how to be a father. So it was a no-brainer for me that I had to go back to the human service system and to learn how to be a surrogate parent. And that really helped me, in preparing to have my own children. My wife and I have 7 children. And so it really helped me to prepare to have a large family and to be in a critical role for a fair amount of youngsters. But if I wouldn't have recognized there was a void and I was working to try to address it, I think I would have done more damage than positive. And I know we all don't want to cause more damage. We want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Yeah, I'll tell you, brother, you got it pinned. I love this. We're talking to Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. As I said in the intro, an accomplished and inspiring man. He's inspiring me right now. I'm sure he's inspiring everybody listening. This is great stuff. We were talking a little bit about his new book, Attaining Your Personal Best. We're going to continue along that vein. We're going to talk a lot more about the book here. I just want to offer a couple of reflections here that I do on people of distinction. My listeners know very, very well. I will underscore certain things. When Dr. Nat is talking about fear, enthusiasm, transparency, I'm in 100% agreement here. And starting out with fear, can kill you, people. Ego-based, me, me, me. Now, yeah, everybody knows that. Everybody knows where it begins, but they don't always know where it ends. It ends in resentment. And resentment means that whatever you're fearing out there, you're bringing into your soul, you're bringing into your personal life, you're bringing into your own mentality. When you do that, then, in effect, you know, you're starting to fear you. You don't want to do that. And the more you fear you, the more you are not reaching out to other people, because you consider other people a threat. Now, what Dr. Nat has learned is not to fear that way. Reaching out to others is a very, very important commodity here. I want to ask you something, Nat. I'm a writer, and I'll preface it this way. When I write, my writing kind of writes itself after a while.
Sure.
And I find that I'm in a certain beautiful space, it could even be called maybe a spiritual space, where I am communing not only with my own thoughts, I might be communing with the thoughts, and I'll say something quote-unquote here, with the universe at that particular point, and I learn things from my own writing. I learn to be inspired by my writing. I learn to be guided by my own writing. In your great book, Attaining Your Personal Best, how did that book teach you certain lessons and help your walk in life, Nat?
Sure. Really what happened was, it was an outgrowth of conversations I've had with one of my colleagues who was, just struggled with some issues. And honestly, it took me about 2 weeks to write it from start to finish, because it wasn't me. It was this person's journey and trying to say, you know what, I want to, give you some answers as best I can, and it just started flowing. And when I started, sending stuff to her and saying, please give me your thoughts, we started having a chance to talk about it, and the crying that I was doing and she was doing, it really wasn't about me. It was really more about the journey and this conversation that we were having that we were able to memorialize by putting it in writing. And that's where I think it became so easy, because I wasn't living writing for me. I was a conduit in a conversation, and I was just being the person who was able to articulate what we were talking about. And one of the things that you said, Al, I think it's so important, is about the word fear. And I was talking with someone earlier this morning, and she said that fear means to me, it's a reminder that I got to face every, I don't know what the A stands for, but the last word stood for recover. And I think that's what we have to just recognize, that fear makes us want to run away from it. And again, we have to remember that we got to face it. And it's every situation, every problem, every circumstance, and we understand that we can recover from it. And we have a tendency as people, Al, to cheapen the moment. Cheapening our place we work and the place we live and our partners. And we have to stop doing that to ourselves, because we deserve the very best by believing that first. And one of the things you said, and I call this the four C's of change, is that it first starts with a concept that is then, supported by our communication, the second C. And the third C is our collaboration. And then we're able to enjoy the consequences of what we've done. But it everything starts with that concept. And we have to understand, sadly, bad things follow that same way.
Uh-huh.
I decided I want to rob a bank. I get a concept. I start communicating, collaborating, and I have a consequence. But I want to really have people think about that in the mindset of change. The concept is so important. How we're able to communicate it and articulate it, collaborate with people, and then deal with the consequences, good and bad, because sometimes even though we're doing something good, because maybe the situation is not ready to embrace it, there are some negative consequences, but we have to be prepared for that and be strong enough to still stand our ground and not be knocked down. When I think about the word resilience, Al, people look at it as, if you get knocked down, you got to stand back up. To me, resilience means something different, in the sense that whether I get knocked down or I succeed, I still got to be resilient. Why, when I succeed, do I have to be resilient? Because we don't always live in that good moment forever, in that successful moment. Most of us live in the middle. So we're not always down, and we're not always on top. And we have to understand that the resiliency is the ability to bounce back and forth from each of those extremes, and understanding it's not always going to be this bad, but at the same time, it's not always going to be that high elevation where, someone wrote a wonderful review about your book and thought you were the best thing since sliced bread. It's not going to always be like that. And part of our resiliency is to come on back down to that middle. And where we see a lot of people in our society struggling is that ability to go back and forth. They want it down low, or where there's so many problems and they can't see the forest from the trees, or they expect everything to be an Emmy Award night in their life, and that's not going to happen either. So for me, the inspiration about putting the book together was just saying, these are things I think people are aware of. I don't think they're novel concepts, but I think what's novel about it is putting it all together to say, now I understand. It's the multitude of these issues that I have to control. It's not just one thing. And I think so often when we look at self-help and attaining your personal best concepts, they try to espouse one thing. And there's a visual in the back of the book that shows a person running. And basically what I tried to do is all the baggage that has to run with it, all the knowledge that has to run with you as you try to get through that doorway of success, it's a lot of stuff. And one of the things that I try to do is to make sure people can say after talking with me that now that they can't say they didn't know, because I think for a lot of people they try so much but they didn't know it was going to be this hard and they didn't understand all that it was going to take. I want to, you know, try to get this out there so people can say as early on as we possibly can get the information to them that they knew. And Al, I went to a school recently of fifth graders, and I did this last school year, and I did it again this year. And I talk with them about the five R's, which are respect and responsibility and recognition, resilience and renewal. And I wish I could, you know, have in front of your viewers these cards I got back from these, you know, 10-year-old children.
I can imagine.
They got it, and and the word they really understood was resilience. And you know, so I think so often we cheapen the moment by thinking that 10-year-old children can't understand about resilience and responsibility and recognition. And it was a funny thing was one of the kids, wrote back to me that, I'm glad that you're working on your stuff, and hopefully you can be as good as I am. And I'm coming there to try to motivate them, and this youngster there is thinking that he's motivating me. But to see the strength that these youngsters have and is important. So I think we have to stop cheapening the moment by, you know, cheapening the people and the places and the things that we have in our lives, and not giving them the credit for all that for all the potential that they have. And I think if we can be aware of that, I think we'll find ourselves in a far better spot than we may have found ourselves previously.
It is such a mouthful here. Cheapening the moment, the minute I heard you say that, I mean, it struck a bell in my brain. And, you don't want to talk beneath people. You don't want to talk beneath people because you talk beneath people, you're talking beneath yourself, ultimately. What goes around does come around.
Sure.
You don't want to do that. And I love your use of the word resiliency, indicating being realistic here,
right.
You know, staying in the middle. Realistic goals, you know, anybody can say, I want to be president, I want to be this, I want to be a millionaire, I want to be a billionaire. These are words until, you know, it's acted upon. And when it's acted upon, we have to realize that ain't a very easy road. You know, that's going to be a road that is paved with a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations. And we have to be realistic about that. If we really want it, well, we can rise up to the trials and tribulations. But we have to know that they are coming, and we have to know how to deal with it when they do come. Being resilient and being respectful, that's another R word that is supremely important. I've always thought that, especially with the guys and relationships that don't really involve the things that you do in relationships, they do with me. But I'm going to throw this in, and I'm going to make a nexus between both of us here.
Sure.
A lot of times in relationships, guys crave and need respect, sometimes even more than they need love.
Mm.
And that is an important aspect here. Guys, to get respect, you've got to give some.
Sure.
You've got to give some to your women. And the nexus here with Dr. Nat is, well, people, if you want to become successful, you have to respect people, and you're going to get respect back. And that is realism. That is realistic. That's a realistic goal. Nobody in this world wants disrespect from anybody. They're not going to hire you that way. And they are not if you're a writer, they're not going to buy your book if you're talking down to them. So don't cheapen the moment. Always be respectful and be resilient. I love that.
And Al, I think one of the other things that you bring up by sharing those comments is that people have choices, and you want them to keep choosing you.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that we make ourselves unaffordable for others to choose, and unaffordable for others to be around. And we have to understand, in today's world, people have so many choices. And we not that we're going to sell our soul and our firstborn for some other person, but just to be recognized, a lot of us make ourselves very high maintenance. And you were talking about men and respect, but reality for a lot of people, they've been beaten down.
Mm-hmm.
Their challenging life event has really said that they're less than anyone. And so then they get into these relationships with other people, and they're struggling with this concept of I'm not going to be less than. And so a lot of times when we come into relationships, we're fighting situations of 10 and 15 years earlier, but we're doing that as a married man. We're doing that as a CEO. We're doing that as a member of a committee trying to work collaboratively, and it doesn't work out because we're fighting issues that haven't been resolved. And so often in my work with other people, I try to encourage them to recognize, you know, a lot of times you're standing there, but you're not the person or the place or the thing that they really are wanting to talk to, but you're just there. And so sometimes that's why you look at them and you're trying to bring them support and love and compassion. It feels like nothing is good enough. But a lot of times it's because they're not fighting with you, they're not arguing with you, they're not discussing you, they're not challenging you. And so I think it's so important, and I hope that you would agree, Al, is that people need to spend some more time understanding themselves, but also understanding the other people that they're coming into contact with, because a lot of people are very, you know, telegraphic about who they are and what they're doing and what their challenges are, but a lot of times we don't want to hear it. I was talking with one person who said, I had a rule, I'm not going to have a person who doesn't have a job and blang, blang, blang. And I asked, well, tell me about the significant person. Well, they don't got a job. And so exactly what she said was not going to happen was because she didn't speak about what could be. She spoke about what couldn't be. And because that's all she could speak about, that's all she had. And so I think it's so important to change our language and really talk about what can be and what I can do rather than what can't be. Because so often that's the script we're going to follow, is what we're speaking about, what can or what can't. And if we're speaking the can't script, that's what's going to be delivered to our doorstep.
Yeah, you know I agree, Nat.
Sure.
We're talking to Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams on Cohen Noble, Present People of Distinction here. Dr. Williams started out as an orphan and a foster child, worked his way up through resiliency to being a doctor of education, president and CEO of Human Works Affiliates, the author of many books, the newest of which is Attaining Your Personal Best. We've been running that down. You want to pick up his new book, go to Amazon. You can also go to his website, www.attainingyourpersonalbest.com. Again, that's www.attainingyourpersonalbest.com. Stimulating conversation here. It's obvious that Dr. Nat is an in-demand inspirational speaker here. That ain't no lie. And he's also a member of the National Speakers Association. I want to talk a little bit about that. We're on the right topic here. And then we're going to talk about your talk show in Philadelphia.
Sure.
Tell us, because you've been so inspiring with what you've been saying in our show here. Tell us about what you do with the National Speakers Association.
Sure, that's just a national trade group of speakers, and they provide a conference once a year where you have a chance to hone your skill and meet other speakers. And it's a database of speakers that people can go and search if they're looking, they're having a function or something they'd like for someone to come in and speak. But it's been a really good networking opportunity, and to find out what works and what doesn't work. So I really appreciated the collaboration and the networking that is offered. And anything you do, you want to make sure you're refining your craft and making yourself the very best that you can be. And that's just one opportunity where that allows for me to work on the speaking interest that I have and surround myself with others. And really, one of the things that I love doing is studying success. A lot of people like to study failure or feel that failure may be a way to look at stuff. My feeling is that I want to study success, and so this group allows me to look around and to see who's successful and to study them and to learn what they're doing and to see what I can give them and also what I can take from them. And plagiarism is a bad thing academically, but it's allowed in the speaker world where you can take what others are doing and learn from it. So it's a wonderful group, and I'm really thankful to be part of it.
Yeah, I like it. And you are successful as a talk show host as well in Philadelphia. That's a TV talk show. Tell us a little bit about that.
The show is the Navigating Your Life with Nat Williams, and looking at, I believe there's 8 domains that we have in our life, and our goal is to try to satisfy all of them at the same time. And a lot of times when we take one of these domains and put too much energy into them, we leave the other domain out of sync. And so the domains to me are health and fitness, and our family and friends is the second, and personal development, and our finances as another, education, spirituality, recreation, and our environment. Mm-hmm. So our goal is to keep all of those domains in balance and satisfying all of them. And when we make a decision, our goal is to make sure that we have a check in each one of those boxes. So an example, someone may get a job offer that says, you know, there's a job making six figures in Texas. So on the financial side, it said that seems like a go. But when we look at our health and some doctors that we may have established some relationships with and the specialty that they have, it may not be in Texas. Our family and friends, that this move may really strain us after a period of time with maybe there's been some loss that we've experienced and we're now finally getting behind that, you know, beyond that. So that family and friends may not be in line with, you know, making this move. But it tries to just encourage people to understand it's when we look at ourselves as a totality and we try to do things that satisfy all of those different domains, that's a help. And so the focus of the show was to provide information on those different domains. And we have people talking on the show about autism. My wife and I have a 4-year-old child with autism, so that was an issue near and dear to our heart. And
yeah.
So we had some people come on and talk about that and talk about finances and retirement. And one of the gentlemen shared that it's so very important that the minute you start working to start saving and putting into your 401k, the minute you start working, it's so important because the money is going to grow so much bigger if you get started earlier. And what he sees is people starting when they're 40 and 50, and it just doesn't give you the dollar does not give you the bang that you really needed to give in today's world with the amount of money you need to retire on. So we had, you know, looking at alternative educational pathways. So that was the purpose of the show, is really to invite people on to try to enrich us. You know, we said the show's purpose was to enrich, to empower, and to enlighten. And that's the, you know, the focus that we have, is to offer those opportunities each Monday night at 8:30 for people to have that information and to keep it flowing, so that that they are having their information in those areas constantly coming across their TV tube on a weekly basis. But one of the other things we knew is that we wanted to be about solutions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to have the drama of the person who's bulimic unless we had some solutions to how to deal with that. And we didn't want to follow someone destroying their lives. We wanted to be part of the solution and not the problem. So I think that it has been a wonderful experience, and we're looking eager to take it forth and to grow it in a larger market, because we think that what the show has to offer is something very special, and so we're putting a lot of energy into looking at ways to expand its viewership. But again, this has been a wonderful opportunity to at least have a chance to share it with people in this local area where we live.
Yeah, that is a wonderful opportunity. Who are some of the special guests that you've had on
there?
Well,
one of the things I love about this show is you won't know any of them.
Oh, right. But they're all great.
Yeah, but they really are. And I think, Al, you would agree with this from what I've heard of your philosophy, is that there is a greatness in every person. And so what we wanted to show is that, you know, that this doctor that you've probably seen already, or this person that's there, and there isn't any great notoriety about them other than they're just people who have something to offer,
yeah,
and they need to be highlighted. And so, you know, producers at times would say to me, and the producers of this show would say sometimes, hey, you need to get this person and that person. And I just have never been attracted to that, because I just think that, as we said earlier, I think that cheapens the moment. I think you have to recognize it's the everyday people that make up such a big difference. And
yeah,
one of the things that I, you know, struggle with, Al, if we can digress for one second, is with television. I just think it's, you know, such a sad commentary that I can be in 2011 and watching a show that aired in 1970, and we think that that's a good show to be watching this many years later, and that we're so devoid of people and talent that we have to sometimes keep re-engineering the same people over and over again. This country has 370 million or some very large number of people. I just don't know why we have to see the same 100 or 200 people over and over again with such a large country full of people with great potential. So
yeah,
the focus of the show, Al, was to give people in the everyday life and an everyday walk an opportunity to share their story, and to me that was just wonderful to have that opportunity.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you. Everybody has something to say.
True.
Everybody has a beautiful story inside of them. everyone has inspiration that they can offer to somebody else. Now, I see that on my show. Some of the greatest guests that I've had have been, you know, little-known people.
Sure.
I've had a lot of educators who have just educated not only me, but, you know, my entire audience, and hopefully, you know, they could educate the world. These things are common. Another thing that I'm going to share with you here, an aside, I have made myself travel in this world. I have put myself out to meet people, not even people that that I was going to have any sort of ongoing relationship with. Sometimes it's beautiful meeting people.
Sure.
Here and there, 10 minutes, half an hour, something like that, sharing their life stories, sharing your life story, understanding where they're coming from as a human being, and that ties the inner spirit together so well. Sometimes, Nat, I feel like I've met half of this country in my travels. And that means I can feel comfortable with nearly anybody that I talk to. I can share what they're talking about in my heart of hearts. And that's a wonderful thing. And I'm sure that this is something that you've also experienced. And in your TV show, this is something that you gravitate for as well. Tell us a little bit about this sharing process with other people. They don't have to be notable people,
sure,
but just other people's mentalities and influences and motivational aspects inside.
Sure, and I think that, you know, that point is so well taken. And again, then going back to the book, Attaining Your Personal Best, you know, I talk about getting mad, and what I mean by that is, you know, changing your mindset, your attitude, and your demeanor, and that part of that is, you know, an educational process that changes your mindset and discovery. And one of the things that you look at people that are successful is they are traveling the world. They're not afraid of that.
Yeah.
But some of us are afraid, you know, to go to the next town. Some of us are afraid to leave the city. Some of us are afraid to leave the state. And the difference between, as I studied success and what I have seen, is that the world opens up to them. And then the world finds a way to embrace them, and they grow from that. And I heard a phrase a while back that the greatest way to fight racism is to encourage travel, because you get to see a different perspective. But some of us pride ourselves in, you know, staying extremely local and not making much movement physically or mentally in our lifetime. And so I think it's so important that as you attempt to grow, is that you recognize it's that, where is my information coming from? And do I have a plethora of avenues and a multitude of avenues that are giving me information so that I can grow? I think that's so important, and I think that's part of that nurturing. And I was sharing with you before we came online that some of these theories are wonderful and I think are moving, but I think when I can do it for myself, I can help others do it. And I'm 46, and I've never left the country. We've traveled in different parts of this country at different times, but I never have left the United States. And I was invited by the USO to do a tour. I was giving a motivational tour to our troops in February, going into March for about 19 days. And so it has me going to about 7 or 8 different countries, and that's a lot for a person who's never left this country once in 46 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's so, as you said, I think it's so important that you allow the world to open up to you, so that you can open up the world to other people when you return back and have so much to share. And the troops, as we all know, whether we are a fan of war or not, or the circumstances, they've sacrificed a lot. And my feeling is if we can give them something back in return and just encourage them and thank them for the sacrifice that they're making, I think it goes a long way.
So it really does.
I was truly honored when they asked, and I was just watching last night on the news where a father came home here locally and surprised his son at school, and no matter how many times you see that, you just recognize that, boy, it's so beautiful that he sacrificed and he was able to come back home. And the funny thing in this situation now was that the child didn't recognize his father. He'd been away so long, he really took him a minute or two, and
really?
Then he realized who it was. And there was another kid in the line who was, you know, all excited and jumping up and down. We thought that was his father, but he was just so happy for his classmate that his father was there, that he was jumping up and down for him. But it was just such a beautiful moment. And again, when you see what these men and women are sacrificing, when they asked me, there was no question.
Mm-hmm.
And they've since asked me to go around and to do some speaking at VA hospitals to staff and residents. And so again, I'm just so excited about that. But going back to your point, Al, I think, you know, trying to reach people at, you know, where they live and where they're feeling, and trying to help them to recognize that and come to grips with that and refine that a little bit so that their attitude and their demeanor and their interactions with the world become more positive, I think is such a wonderful position to be in to try to help. So I'm so very excited about all the opportunities to work with people, but all more importantly to work on myself in that kind of way. Mm-hmm. I just think it's such a privilege to be able to, especially with all the stuff that's going on, to be able to look at ways that I can become better as well.
Absolutely. And I'm going to underscore something here that that you're talking about, Nat. Of course, the USO tour. Now, you know, I don't want that to go over my listeners' heads. This is something great that Dr. Nat is doing right now. The USO tour, it's perspective for 19 days, going to the Mediterranean to talk to the troops. And I'm going to ask you to go into a little bit more detail with that. One of the reasons I'm going to ask you to do that is it harkens back to a recent guest, Jim Reynolds, who is Abe Carver of Days of Our Lives. He has been playing that role now for 29 years. He was a recent guest on my show. I was really honored. And Jim and I had a great conversation, just like we're having a great conversation right now. Abe Carver, the portrayal of Abe Carver on Days of Our Lives by Jim Reynolds, has been the longest-running African-American character in TV history.
Wow.
And I want to underscore this. I'm an African-American man myself, and I can very, very much applaud Jim for that accomplishment. Jim is involved with VA hospitals as well. He's a veteran himself. He's an ex-Marine. He was involved with Vietnam and was wounded in Vietnam, and he spends a lot of his time helping veterans in VA hospitals. So I want to make that connection here very, very strongly. Two people to grace my stage, the Colin Noble Show, people of distinction, who are helping out veterans and current people who are serving in the military. And I think that that's extremely important, people. So tell us a little bit more in depth about the USO tour.
The USO organization, the United States organization, has always been there to try to support our troops, and they do a multitude of things. And one of the things they do is provide entertainment that comes and visits the different bases all across the world. And they have basically six regions across the world, and the Mediterranean is one of them. And they invited me to go to speak to them, and Europe is the other one that's clustered with that. So I'll be spending some time in Belgium and Germany and Italy and having a chance to speak, and then we'll end up in Portugal as well, to speak to the troops and just offer them some of the perspectives on as they continue their service, as well as some of them will be coming back home, and offering them some insights and really trying to motivate them and inspire them, and also to thank them what they do. So I've been spending a lot of time. I've never served in the military, so I've been. My sister did in the Navy for 20 years, and so I've been reaching out to people and finding out what has that experience been, and what information have they learned on the other side of coming back that they would have appreciated hearing when they were there, and just taking the stuff that I think is important to share. So I have about an hour and a half with each of the 10 stops that we're making in those 19 days, and I'm really very excited about it. But I think, again, it's that extension, as you talked about, of being able to give back and being able to try to enrich and try to empower and enlighten people. I just think it's so important and to just recognize so much is being done that we just never see. When I started looking at, where some of these bases were, and you just had no idea that there's just so much of this infrastructure all across the world that's trying to keep the world safe and at peace, and you just didn't realize how many people. Some of these bases have 15,000 people, working to try to achieve this goal. So, again, it's a wonderful opportunity, and I'm very thankful that they asked me to do it, and I look forward to trying to make this something that I can do on a frequent basis, but we'll see how this first one goes, being this is the first time I'm going to be jet-setting for such a short period of time to so many different places. But I know that the euphoria of doing it will keep me fueled throughout the time, so I'm really very, very excited.
And we're excited for you. Wonderful contributions from Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams, who, I'm running it down again here. Started out as an orphan, people. Foster child, worked his way up to Doctor of Education, President and CEO of HumanWorks Affiliates. Attaining Your Personal Best, his new book, although he's written many, many others. You go to his website, pick that one up, www.attainingyourpersonalbest.com. Also with the National Speakers Association. Also has his own TV show in Philadelphia, Navigating Your Life. It's a great show, motivational. We've been talking about everything here, and not the least of which is his USO tour, helping the people who help this country. So we're talking some really inspiring stuff here. We have a couple of minutes here now. I want to cap it off with a real inspiring message now for our listeners. There are listeners who email me. They are in trouble. And they don't have to be in trouble with the law. They don't have to be in trouble in any external way. Sometimes they're in trouble internally, emotional conflicts with maybe their spouses, their loved ones. And it's so ironic that our loved ones can sometimes torment us the most. And sometimes we torment our loved ones the most. There are people out there who are trying their best to come to grips maybe with financial situations these days, and not the best to live in financially. There are people such as you who can help these people. What are some of the messages? And not that you haven't given them already, brother. You've given so many. To cap it off, what does Dr. Nat want to really do to reach out to the human cause, all brothers and sisters, make it a little bit easier? What are some of the real messages that you can throw out here for all of the desperate people in this world, Dr. Nat?
And I hope that this is a message for those that are challenged, but also those that are successful, because
yes.
I think a lot of times we're about 10% of what we really could, who we really could be, and we just know we're close to maximizing ourselves. And the book that I had written, two books before this, was called The Affordability Factor. And what that attempted to look at is that, you know, looking at our lives, can we really afford all the dreams and aspirations that we had? And what I recognized for myself is I couldn't until I made some changes. And what I really discovered was that I had a challenging life event, which you mentioned earlier, which was the death of my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that really threw me for a loop at a time that I was least developed to deal with it. And because it was so very painful, I never, ever went back to deal with it. And so I went forth in my life, touching marriage, touching work, touching play, touching everything, from a very wounded state. And I, you know, recognized about 30 years later that I was standing at the foot of my mother's casket, and I didn't know I was standing there.
Oh.
And the rage and the frustration and the fear and the trepidation was all there. But sadly, or thankfully, or gracefully, I still became a father, a husband, a CEO, but I recognized I could afford so much more if I could understand what the challenge did to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had other people, you know, that have had challenges with, you know, divorce, and they're, you know, that they've seen their parents get divorced, and they've lost people, and they've had to move and several times. So each person's challenging life event is different. But I found to a person, I have not found one person, who's not been able to discover what that challenging life event was for them, and then begin to realize how much homage we have given and paid to that challenging life event.
Yes.
And sadly, how much has been stolen from us. In some cases, we gave it away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, I would just ask people to think about where they are, and really begin to question where they are, and really begin to say, are you like Matt, and that you stood at your mother's casket for longer than you really should have?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we forget is we made it to the other side, and we need to start living like that. I made it to the other side of seeing a significant person in my life be no longer there, but I acted like I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of us do that every day, is that we achieve, you know, paying our mortgage. We achieve, you know, living another day, but we act as if it's over.
Yeah.
And we just got to recognize, if you think your story is bad, trust me, there's someone out there, and sadly to say, in this day and age, a lot of people out there whose story is far worse than yours. So don't get into a contest of what is worse and worser and the worsest. Reality is, if you've made it to the other side of whatever that situation is, if I make it to the other side of this conversation today, and I make it to the other side of the other task, I need to be thankful and live that way, because there are so many other people who were not able to make it to where I am at this particular point. And again, what's important is to live like that. And one of the things that you echoed earlier was about the importance of fellowship and being, I think we live in a world that keeps telling us that we can live in isolation and do everything by ourselves, and that's the biggest lie and falsehood that exists. We need other people, and we need to be able to have other people that can encourage us to say, I'm sorry, that can encourage us to say, thank you, and that can encourage us to say and to listen when someone says, stop it. And to me, those are the words that are missing so much from our vocabulary, and that's what fellowship can bring, is the reminder to say thank you, the reminder to say I'm sorry, and the reminder that we have to listen sometimes when to cut it off and to take it easy and to slow it down. So I would just encourage people to just take some time to discover. You know, there's a workshop I do, and we call it Reflection, Discovery, and Action.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to take the time to reflect and think and then discover some of the things that are truly behind what we do, and then begin to take action. And then after that, really try to resolve that issue so that the residue and the remnants of what we're challenged by, that we've dissipated it from our life and we're moving on and being able to deal with the other things the future chapters have. So I would hope and I would pray that people just take the time and to recognize and to celebrate where they are. And I know it's, how can I celebrate and this thing is happening? Well, reality is this thing has something more challenging that could have happened and could have been in its place. Whatever position you find yourself in, you need to find a way to celebrate it. And I think you've been watching the news as well, and you've heard about this gentleman who has a wonderful radio voice that everyone is so excited about, and his story is so powerful. But again, what's important is that we recognize what he did is he stayed in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did the very best. And sometimes it comes late. You know, it doesn't come when we want it to come. It comes when it's the right time. And I just pray that he's in fellowship with other people who are not going to take advantage of this moment for him, and gets the moment to be stretched as far as that moment can be stretched, because he deserves that, because he's lived and struggled so much on the other side. But now that he's made it, we have to help him and encourage him and pray for him to live like that. And we can always see that story on television and appreciate it, but in our lives every day, there are people that are like that, dealing with us in the office next door to us, you know, right next door to our house, if not our sons and daughters and wives and brothers and sisters, they're in our lives today. So why are we watching something on television that is actually going on right next to us in our own lives and doing nothing about it, but we get all welled up when we're watching it on television, but right in front of us, we choose to ignore it and say nothing about it. So I would encourage everyone to recognize that, you know, we all have challenges. We have to face them and recognize that our goal is to get to the other side and then act like we did and be appreciative and thankful for having that opportunity to make that journey.
I love it, Nat. I love it. You know, people, I'll underscore what Nat just said. You have made it to the top already just by having been born a human being. I mean, you know, think about it. You could have been born a muskrat. Not that it's so bad being a muskrat. I mean, every creature has its greatness, and I mean every creature, because this is life, people. You know, life is a beautiful venture in itself. And as a human being, you have the repository of that greatness. And I ain't talking futuristically. I'm saying it's born within you. It's there already. It's up to you to realize that and appreciate it. Just as Dr. Nat has been saying, to appreciate what you got. Now, the way that you appreciate what you got is to first understand that you got it. And you understand how you got it sometimes in the creative process, sometimes in isolation, sometimes, you know, not being afraid of being alone sometimes, people, and just self-reflect. Just be alone in your own consciousness. We are all separated by consciousnesses. We know that. Your consciousness is precious. When you are just checking yourself out, feeling the beautiful emotions that you can feel, understanding the great and wonderful reflections that you have, understanding the mentality that you were born with and that you can give to other people, You are going to say to yourself, wow, I didn't know that I was this great. You are great. There is a beautiful aspect of you that can be tapped into. Now, once you tap into that, guess what? You can give that out to others. And this love that you profess to have for your wife, this love that you profess to have for your husband, will then become real. Because in a way, and this is going upstream, but my people know that I do this, in a way, you can begin to share consciousness with that other individual that you love, because you have learned to really and truly respect and love yourself. When you do that, you can reach out to others, and you can have others reach into you. You can accept others into your own consciousness, and you can understand what their consciousness is like. You can share experiences with them. You can understand what they're going through, their trials and tribulations. Very, very important here. Dr. Nat is on board with that. And I appreciate him for that. I respect him for that. He has been just an excellent expositor of his beliefs here on Cohen Noble Present People of Distinction. Thank you so very, very much, Nat.
Well, Al, thank you. It's really been my honor. And I want to thank you for all that you're doing and consistently doing to bring to your listeners information that you believe makes a difference. And your contribution is so very important. So I want to just encourage you to keep going. And I'm sure there are always challenges that we face in trying to do the right thing. But I've learned in life the right thing always takes more time, more money, and other resources. And so just be prepared to keep going forth and doing what you do, because it really does make a difference. And I'm honored to be able to spend a little bit of time with you and your listeners today, and I wish you the very best going forward.